Great number that is. Been in there quite a while. And we'll go ahead and pray and we'll get back into where we left off last week. Father in heaven, Lord, thank you, Lord, for your words. And thank you, Lord, that we can have a place to come out of the cold. It's cold out there today, and we're thankful that we got a warm building to come to, Lord. And we pray that we would just remember that and thank you for it. And Father, now we pray that our hearts and our ears and our eyes would be open to your words, and that we would just be mindful of the things that you want us to know in your words today. And we pray these things for Christ's sake. Amen. Okay. We left off in verse 40. I went ahead and I just ran through 44 and I spouted off some verses and didn't even explain why I put them in there or anything. So we're going to go through verse 44 here. The Bible says, "Again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto treasure hid in a field, the which when a man hath found, he hideth, and for joy thereof goeth, and selleth all that he hath, and buyeth that field." And so, what we know so far is that we're talking about an earthly physical kingdom, and we know that that field that this verse is talking about is the world. That's found in verse 38. Go back there real quick. The field is the world. The good seed are the children of the kingdom, but the tares are the children of the wicked one. So we know that the field is a world. The Bible defines it as such. And we know that the man here is the Son of Man, verse 24. Another parable, "Put he forth unto them, saying, the kingdom of heaven is likened unto a man which sowed good seed in a field." And then, where's it at here? Where does he define that parable? Yeah, verse 37. "He answered and said unto them, he that soweth the good seed is the Son of Man." Okay? So, there's somebody sowing seed, and we know a man, that's the Son of Man, okay? And here's a man who's finding, he's finding treasure hidden in a field, okay? So the Son of Man is that man. But we went through a little bit what this treasure was in Psalms 35, 4. The Bible talks about the treasure being Israel. Okay, we went through that a little bit. And so we go back and we remember back when God found Israel. He found him as Jacob. He wrestled with him and renamed him, right, as Israel. And so God found that nation through Jacob. Abraham, it came from Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, but he found Israel through Jacob. And so once he did that, Jacob, he was wrestling with him. He wouldn't let him go till he blessed him. God blessed him, and then Jacob let him go, and he went and hid. And as he left, I mean, when he left, the nation of Israel then grew and rebelled, and God was hiding from them and not showing his face. But then it says right here, again, "The kingdom of heaven is like unto a treasure hid in a field, which when a man hath found, he hideth, and for the joy thereof goeth and selleth all that he had and buyeth that field." And so what God did was he went and he sold his life for us. That's all that he had, his life. That's all a man has, right? You don't have nothing else. Your life, that's it. He sold his life, all that he had, and he went and he purchased that field, which is the world. It's the world. He purchased that with his blood. And so Jesus not only died to purchase our soul, but he died to purchase our body. Okay? The whole package. He's getting the whole package when he's buying this. And that's found in Ephesians 1. I'll go there real quick. Ephesians And if you want to, we can apply this to the nation of Israel. He died to purchase that nation. He died to purchase Jews. And we're going to see that here in a little bit. But Ephesians 1, 13. The Bible says, we'll start off in verse 12, that we would be to the praise of his glory, who first trusted in Christ, in whom ye also trusted, after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. Okay? Just remember the word gospel there, of your salvation, and the word in whom also, after that ye believed, ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession, unto the praise of his glory. Okay? So, and we're going to see that that's part of our body here in a little bit here. That's our body. The whole creation, Jesus is, not only did he die to purchase our body and our soul, but he died to purchase the whole creation, the world. Okay, we got to keep this in the context here. He sold all that he had and go and buyeth that field. We know the field to be the world. Okay, and so go with me if you would. And so the whole creation, right, is cursed. It's cursed since Adam. Curse fell upon the earth, right? The curse fell upon the animals, and the curse fell upon man. And so that curse isn't going to be lifted until this whole creation is redeemed. It's got to be redeemed. Then that curse gets lifted. And that's found in, it's going to be a new heaven and a new earth, found in Revelation 21. Revelation 21. And we know that it's not a new created earth, but it's a new heaven and a new earth. Doesn't say God's going to does it say he's going to create a new heaven and a new earth? But there's going to be one. Okay? And so let's look and see what it says. 21:1. Here's John saying, "And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea." Okay? There was no more sea. And so this whole creation is waiting for this day. It's waiting to be a new thing. All right, we're waiting to be have a new body. The earth is waiting to have a new earth. The whole creation is groaning. Okay? It's groaning. And that's found in Romans 8. Romans 8:19. And this is, I mean, we're just, this is just review of things that we already know, hopefully. 8:19. If you're here and you've never heard this before, praise the Lord, because you're going to hear it now. 8:19. I will start in verse 18. "For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. For the earnest expectation of the creature waiteth for the manifestation of the sons of God. For the creature was made subject to vanity, not willingly, but by reason of him who hath subjected the same in hope. Because the creature itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of the corruption into this glorious liberty of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. And not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our body." Okay? So just as we're going to get a new body, the earth's going to have get a new earth and a new heaven. The creation. Okay? And so this new heavens and this new earth business, it comes about after the devil is released to enter back into the kingdom of heaven. He gets to come back into the kingdom of heaven. Okay? And Jesus is the king of that kingdom of heaven at the time. But the devil gets to re-enter. And he's going to try, he's going to gather up an army as the sands of the sea to try and overthrow Jesus Christ when he's on his throne. How silly. That is silly of men and of the devil to think that they're going to try and regain a kingdom that was taken by them by force. And they're going to try and retake it by force from the person that took it from them? That's very, very silly. And so, as Pastor says, men learn from history, then men seldom learn from history. That's about what he says somewhere around there. That's a true statement, a very true statement. Men learn from history that men seldom learn from history. And that's why we need to submit to Jesus. And we need to submit to God. And we need to submit to the Holy Spirit. And we need to submit to their words. Okay? Because these people aren't submitting to them. And when we submit to them, then we can learn from people's history. But when we don't submit to them, we're not going to learn. And men won't learn. Men will have the Word of God right there. They'll know what the end is going to be. And they'll do it anyway. So they don't want anything to do with Jesus or His words, even when Jesus is reigning, ruling and reigning with a rod of iron. Hey, have you ever asked yourself this question? Why is God ruling with a rod of iron? Why is Jesus ruling with a rod of iron while He's on this earth? If everybody is in submission to Him, He doesn't need a rod of iron. That shows you that there's not going to be the submission that, you know, some people think. I mean, it's not going to be submissive when Jesus is on the throne. He's going to have to use the rod of iron. That's why He says He's going to rule with a rod of iron, because people are going to come up against Him. Even when He's on the throne, which is an amazing thing to think about. Amazing. And so, they're never going to be able to overthrow Him. But here's the reason that we know that this new earth and this new heavens will be after Christ comes back to reign on this earth. And that's found in 2 Peter. It's after that. And I know you're probably saying, "What? We already know this," but 2 Peter. I think there's a method where I'm going with this, so I don't know yet. Forgot what I wrote. 2 Peter 3:9. The Lord is not slack concerning His promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. For the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. And seeing that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness? Okay? So we know that the new heavens and the new earth is asked after Christ's reign, right? Because you don't hear about that during this reign. Right after the tribulation, you don't hear about the earth getting burned up. It doesn't melt. But the new heavens and the new earth come after that. After Christ has already reigned here, he's reigning here, and all of a sudden, the devil's armies come after him, and he just blows it all up, melts it all. And just remember that, because we're gonna bring this up again in the drag in the parable of this net here. They call it the drag net. But just remember that one. And so they don't burn up before Jesus comes back. They burn up after he comes back, after he's already here, and the devil comes after him with all those people, those silly people. Now, let's look at this word righteousness. Turn back with me, if you would, to Matthew 13:43. Okay, before you do, let me see, where was I at? 2 Peter? Oh, was it 2 Peter 3:9? There's a reason why I did this. Okay. Verse 13 in 2 Peter 3:13. Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for a new heavens and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. Righteousness, okay? So there's going to be righteousness in a new heavens and a new earth. If you would, this will explain a little bit back in Matthew 13. I know we're jumping around here, but the Bible's written in a way where you have to go back and forth and back and forth to be able to understand some things that we didn't cover, okay? So Matthew chapter 13:43, then shall the righteous shine forth as the sun in the kingdom of their Father. Who hath ears to hear, let them hear. Okay? So we're trying to see some series of events here back in the tares. And so it's not the kingdom of Jesus Christ anymore. It's the kingdom of their Father. Okay? And that is after after the new heavens, after the new earth. And you'll see, then shall the righteous shine forth as the sun. Okay? So the kingdom of heaven, I'm not going to say any more about that right now. So this should clear up some business of the kingdom of their Father, when that is. Okay? It's after Jesus Christ reigns on this earth over the kingdom of heaven. Then it becomes the kingdom of their Father. Okay? Then God is their Father. God sets up a new kingdom, the kingdom of their Father. Okay. Now, again, we're jumping back and forth here, but there's nooks and crannies all over the Bible here. So we'll see what we got here. Now, let's go back for this hid treasure. Try and tie all this together. Matthew 13:44. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto treasure hid in a field. This hid treasure. Let me see what we got here. That treasure is found back in Genesis with Jacob slash Israel. And now God found a way. He finds this treasure, Israel. Remember that. It's Israel. It's all about Israel. It's all about that Jew. We just happened to get into it because the Jew didn't do what he was supposed to do. Okay? And you're going to see, he pays for the whole world, Jesus Christ. Everybody gets to get involved in this. But the Jew, it's the Jew, it's the Israel. Okay, so what he does is he found a way to pay for the sins of man, to redeem his whole creation, God did, from the first day, the creation from the first day, to the sixth, back in Genesis. And we need to be grateful to God for finding this way, okay? Finding the way that nation could get saved, the nation of Israel, because he found that nation. He didn't find us. He found the nation of Israel, the Jews. God could have destroyed everything, but he found that one piece of treasure there, okay? And so we get to have opportunity today because God found that treasure, Israel. Everything God does, everything he did, stems from that treasure that he found. Okay? Go with me, if you would, to Romans. And we're going to see this here in Romans. Romans 1. 16. There's Paul. He's a Jew. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. He died for all. But it was because of the Jew. All right? He found that treasure in a Jew. To the Jew first, and also to the Greek. That's where this, where I'm going with this parable here. It's because of that nation, because God found Israel. He found a treasure on this earth, that he came and died on that cross, and he died for the whole world. So the whole world gets to benefit because of that Jew. Okay? Because God found that Jew. He found something in him. He found a treasure there. And it's an amazing thing, but everybody gets to benefit because of them. And I'll tell you, people that treat that Jew bad, hey, they did a lot of things messed up. They messed up all throughout their nation, all right? All through time. But those people that go against that Jew, you don't want to be one of them. You don't want to be one of them, because even though they're sinful, we're sinful. The whole world is sinful because of Adam. All right? But there's something with that Jew that the Lord that's a treasure to him. It's a treasure to him. So we all get the benefit because of that. Let's go back to Matthew and we'll move on. Matthew 13, 45. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a merchant man seeking goodly pearls, who when he hath found one pearl of great price, went and sold all that he had and bought it. Now, I don't understand this pearl business. I'm going to try and give you what I think, maybe what it could be. I'm going to put it out there. I don't know. I don't believe it's the church, okay? Because he's selling all that he has to buy it. And what did he do up here? He sold all that he had, and what did he buy? He bought the whole world, the field. Okay? So, if the field is the world, and the treasure is a people, back in verse 44, then what would be the one pearl of great price? That's the question. Now, if I had to guess, the pearl of great price is Jesus Christ's whole creation. Okay? That would be my guess. And from the beginning, when he created the heaven and the earth, until the end of the world, his whole creation, everything in there. And there's a reason for that, but I'll go into that a little later. Jesus is the Lamb slain. He's a lamb slain from the foundation of the world. And so his sacrifice is good from the foundation of the world, right? From the foundation of the world, the very beginning, his sacrifice is good until then. And so the reason why I'm saying that this pearl of great price is the world is because what does John 3:16 say? For God so loved the world. All right? Now, I mean, if you look at verse 44, he's finding a treasure in this field, in the world. But then he pays for the whole world. It's like this one little treasure makes the whole world a big pearl. The whole creation of a pearl of great price because of the one treasure in this field that he finds. That's what it looks like to me now. I could be wrong, and I'm probably wrong on a lot of things, but that's the best I can do with that. And so I understand that God uses the word world in some instances to explain like a world system, all right, that's in place today. And that's why we have to learn to divide the scriptures. Because world one place can mean one thing, and world another place can mean something totally different. All right? And think about it for a second. Does God love the world system today? I mean, yeah, I ask these questions to myself when I see this stuff. You know, I know sometimes the Bible says, you know, he's talking about the world system. But does God love the world system today? If he does, why is he coming to change it? Right? He's going to come back and that system's going to be no more. He's going to change the whole thing. But does he love his creation? Yeah, he loves his creation. He died for it. The whole creation's groaning for him. He died for all mankind. He died for this whole thing, everything he made. The rocks are going to, they would cry out. The Bible says, if these people would hold their peace, the rocks would cry out. So, his creation loves Jesus. Man and angels, the fallen ones of that is, they're the only ones that don't. Hey, when God tells a bee to go and sting a bunch of people, that bee goes and stings a bunch of people. Or a whole swarm of bees goes and stings. When God tells a bear to go eat up a bunch of children, the bears listen. Okay? But when God tells man, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved, man says, no way. When God tells his angels and gives them orders to do, what do? They rebel. But God's creation, what did it do? It was a bystander of circumstance. Because a man messed everything up. So that's why it's important. We have to study. We got to ask questions. We got to reason the Bible, the scriptures out. Hey, the disciples reasoned these things out about the gospel, folks. They hashed these things out. They didn't know what a lot of this stuff meant. So you got to ask these questions. Hey, what is God saying here about the world here in this particular passage? And so we take what we can and apply it where we can. We got to reason the things out, though. And that's why, I mean, God's got his words written to where if you don't search it out and study and ask questions and reason these things out, it's going to be like a bunch of parables. We'll be reading parables. What does this mean? What does that mean? Right? Okay, we're just going to get through this one. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a net that was cast in the sea and gathered of every kind, which when it was full, they drew it ashore and sat down and gathered the good into vessels, but cast the bad away. So shall be at the end of the world. The angels shall come forth and sever the wicked from amongst the just, and shall cast them into the furnace of fire. There shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth. Sounds a little like the terrors, right? Sounds a little bit like the terrors at the end there. Now think about it. Who has ordered this net to be cast into the sea, and who might he be? Who might it be? Think about what the sea could be. If you would, go with me to 2 Peter. 2 Peter 3 again. Verse 3. Knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers, walking after their own lust, and saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation. For this they willingly are ignorant of, that by the word of God the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water, and in the water. Whereby the world, what's this world? Is that a system here? The world that then was being overflowed with water. What's being overflowed with water? The world, right? Is that a system? That's a physical entity there. We're talking about something physical. Being overflowed with water, perished. Okay? It perished. So everything on this earth died or perished. And now I know God had seed in itself, but it was the seed's dead until it germinates, folks. Okay, so the sea could be this water. And it looks like the sea is the water that the world is in and out of, floating. It's floating in there. And it looks like Jesus has ordered a net to be cast into these waters. Okay? And this net is designed. It's designed to do a couple things. It's designed to catch men, women, children of every race. It's also designed to catch fallen angels and the devil. And the devil. Okay? And fallen angels and the devil. And it looks like that when Jesus, when he melts the heavens and he melts the earth, when the devil is released, he's on the kingdom of heaven. He's coming after Jesus. And now think about this. This sea, this earth is in. Everybody from the very beginning until now, until this point, this was part of that world, part of that earth, and is capable of being caught in the net. There's going to be people in hell. There's going to be people standing on the earth. There's going to be devils in hell. There's going to be the devil standing on the earth, right? There's going to be people in Abraham's bosom probably still. It's going to be just. There's going to be the unjust. There's going to be wicked. There's going to be good. There's going to be bad. Okay, these things are going to be there. And this net is designed to capture these things. Okay, so think about it. Jesus speaks a word, the earth is gone, melts. You've got this net there. And now the shore, think about the shore being the white throne judgment. You got this net being drawn in. What did Jesus Christ say? He said, if I be lifted up, I shall draw all men to me. All men. That's unsaved, that's saved. So you have the Godhead here at the white throne judgment. Judging men, judging angels, judging devil, the devil. Okay? Well, I'm almost done here. And so what that means, if Jesus Christ is going to draw men to him, all the men are going to be drawn to him, and then they're going to have to give an account. What could this vessel be? At the end of the world, the kingdom of heaven, at the end of the world, at the end of the kingdom of heaven, there's going to be a new kingdom. The kingdom of their Father, which we read about. Where the righteous shall shine, verses 43. Where is this new heaven and new earth? Right? There's a new heaven and new earth. And there won't be anything bad there. Right? There's only going to be things good there. So that could be the vessel. That could be the vessel that they're putting things in the good in the vessel and they're casting the bad away. Eternal darkness. Everlasting darkness. Where there it's a fiery furnace. And we'll go ahead and stop there. Father in heaven, Lord, thank you, Lord, for your words and we thank you, Lord, for a copy of them and we pray that we would just to better understand them and just do what we have to do to and study and compare and contrast and ask you, Lord, and depend on you for the answers that we get. And we pray these things for Christ's sake. Amen.